in cities, and many of the injured we have been hearing all evening long have been taken to HCMC, Hennepin County Medical Center, not far at all from where the bridge collapsed. And I understand Jess Mador now is on the line with us from HCMC to give us a report and an update. Jess, you are at HCMC now, correct? Jess Mador, can you hear me? We can hear Jess's line open, but
we do know that Dr. Joseph Clinton, the chief of emergency medicine at Hennepin County Medical Center, has confirmed that at least one person is dead
from drowning, presumably. And also, the Dr. Clinton did say that we perhaps could expect more victims of drowning. But I think he had no more information on the person's identity until next of kin are notified. Jess Mador, again with us tonight from HCMC, Hennepin County Medical Center. Correct, Jess?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Were you there for, have there been any briefings or official communications about any of the injured or numbers, anything like that?
Yeah, we just had the latest information update from Medical Director of Emergency Services, Dr. Joseph Clinton.
Yeah, so you were there for that. Tell us what he said.
Well, the hospital remains on orange alert, which means that they call in, you know, hundreds of staff members. He says the atmosphere in the hospital right now is under control. It's calm. They were prepared for this. He says this is the kind of emergency that citywide hospitals coordinate on, and they've got triage centers set up near the disaster site. So the most critical injured are being brought to this hospital because it's a level one trauma center, but only those on the south side of the bridge. Others are being brought from the north side.
All right, Jess, we didn't get that last bit, but you're saying people from the south side of the bridge, otherwise on the north side of the bridge, are being taken to North Memorial. Is that your understanding?
He wasn't clear on which hospitals were being used on the north side, but on the north side of the disaster, the injured are being brought to, you know, those hospitals on the north side.
From Dr. Clinton, was there any sense of the numbers of injured who've been brought in, or how serious some of these injuries were, or in fact, any more information about fatalities?
Right now, there's one known fatality and at least 22 injured. Most have blunt trauma, head, chest injuries, blunt trauma to the body. But he says that it's hard to know immediately whether or not they have internal injuries as well.
What about staffing levels? Did it seem that he sounded confident, it sounds like, that
they can
handle this?
Yeah, absolutely. He said they're fine in terms of staff. They're well prepared. He said the biggest issues are transportation and coordination, but that you know, they have triage centers set up at the site and they're doing the best they can. But it seems to be flowing smoothly, and they feel confident that they've got enough staff right now.
All right.
He said that, sorry.
Go ahead, please. Please,
he said that there could be more walking wounded that will trickle in through the night using their own transportation. So obviously it's not clear how many more that could mean.
And I understand there have been emergency vehicles bringing people in from all parts of the metro. In other words, all parts of the metro sent emergency vehicles to respond to this one location in downtown Minneapolis. Correct? Yeah.
True. It's slowed down, though. When
it
I
has.
Got here, there were, you know, many, many ambulances coming in, but right now it's very quiet.
Jess Mador reporting for us tonight from Hennepin County Medical Center, where there are reports of 22 injured and one known fatality. Thank you very much, Jess, and we'll check in with you again in downtown Minneapolis tonight, the scene of a bridge collapse that is making news around the country and indeed around the world, a major stretch of interstate highway, one of the most traveled stretches. The span has just collapsed into the Mississippi River, and MnDOT estimate earlier said that there could have been as many as 50 cars on this collapse bridge, but this happened a little over 2 hours ago now, and I imagine that certainly it wasn't as packed or crowded as it might be, but it probably still was because of the Twins home game at the
Absolutely.
Dome.
Absolutely, and
yards away.
We know that we have heard several witnesses tell us that the traffic was bumper to bumper. Traffic was moving slowly because of the congestion. As many as 50 vehicles, as you mentioned, may have fallen. We heard Annie Baxter say one woman told her car fell 40 feet, and she was able to walk away. We also heard about the school bus.
It's just amazing to think about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the school bus, we've heard a couple of reports now, including Annie talked to one of the students who was on the bus. who said there were about 60 kids on the bus.
For a beach outing.
And it seems like if there were injuries, they were fairly minor. It seems like all those kids are okay, but we do know at least one person was killed and a drowning victim. We had reports earlier from the media reports, CNN, that three people were dead.
That hasn't been confirmed officially yet, but...
Right. Interesting that Jess reported people on the southern end of the bridge went to the Hennepin County Medical Center. On the northern side of the bridge, presumably went to North Memorial Medical Center, which makes some sense. When the bridge is gone, you have to go in two different directions.
Exactly. And they've closed off the neighboring bridge, the bridge in that area that is parallel to it. And in fact, the more, I think, memorable looking span, the more dramatic span, is the 10th Avenue Bridge to Cedar Avenue. And that bridge is closed. The Stone Arch Bridge, open only to pedestrian traffic, as we know. And earlier, our Dan Olson told us that, that it was quite crowded with people looking. And, so that bridge is closed. We also understand the Interstate Highway, 35W is closed, on the northbound side at, 36 in Roseville, mm-hmm. Highway 36, and the southbound side, Interstate 94 as well. Now, earlier tonight, Congressman Jim Oberstarch, DFLer who chairs the Transportation Committee, spoke on the floor of Congress, and he was talking about a bill that that obviously he supports about transportation funding and infrastructure funding. This is one of his issues, and he made the following comments about the bridge, and we have the audio of those comments from Congressman Oberstar now for you from the floor of the House earlier this evening, probably about an hour and a half ago.
The University of Minnesota collapsed just 2 hours ago, dropping at least 8 cars and a truck in the water. School bus that just barely missed crashing into the water was damaged, and students on board were bloodied and injured. The crumpled wreckage of the bridge is on the east bank, and then the water, the concrete roadway is in the river gorge. It's a 40-year-old bridge, but it's a tragic occurrence, and I observe that I make that observation here in the midst of this consideration of the technical corrections as an indication of how vitally important it is for us to continue the vigilance on the integrity. Yield myself another 30 seconds.
Gentleman's recognized.
Continue our vigilance on the integrity and condition of the nation's traveled roadways.
Comments of Congressman Jim Oberstar, who chairs the House Transportation Committee, on the floor of the House. He made those comments not long ago this evening, talking about the first part of the comments, unfortunately, were truncated there. But we should say that he was talking about a bridge on Interstate 35W near the University of Minnesota collapsed just 2 hours ago. And those comments from within the hour. Actually, the time that earlier that we had was about a few minutes after 6:05. I'm Tom Cran in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom with this continuing coverage for you. Mike Mulcahy is here with me. And Mike, I understand we're joined on the line now by Michael Brown, who is a civil engineer. And Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Michael. How are you? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Doing well. How are you, Steve?
I am well. Now, from the reports that that you're seeing, and I understand we're probably entering in the realm of speculation pretty quickly here, but with your background and trained eye here and experience, with the reports that you're seeing in the footage, what does it look like to you? How unusual an occurrence is this, and what does it look like happened?
Well, not being on the scene, I can only speculate as to what could have led to the failure. I'm not really certain as to what occurred there on the bridge. That bridge being constructed in 1967, what happens with bridges that are that old, sometimes there's a large degree of oxidation on the beams, if you will, rust. And if the maintenance was not kept up on that structure, then you could experience failure there. If they had begun to, say, shut down half of the bridge, conduct concrete pours on one half, which is usually how it's done. If the concrete was not allowed to cure properly, i.e., allowed to come to the proper tensile strength before putting weight on the bridge, that could lead to failure in the structure. If they did not perform the proper analysis on the concrete, i.e. air content and water percent, water to cement ratios. If that was not, if those tests were not conducted during the pour and the concrete obviously would not cure properly and then weight was put upon it, that could also lead to failure. So there are a number of factors that could have led to that, to failure in the structure.
I understand from what you said that you said a bridge of this age, 40-year-old span, and when it comes to interstate highways and bridges like this, is that considered a relatively old span today?
Well,
how typical is that, in other words?
It's typical, and the real question is, has the proper maintenance been done since since it was constructed? That's the real issue.
And earlier tonight, our Elizabeth Stawicki spoke with somebody from the Minnesota Department of Transportation who did not have those records, but said that we would find that out and they would let us know when the last time the bridge was inspected. Typically, is there an inspection interval that they do on federal or interstate highways like this that you're aware of?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the feds have their own regulations, and they do have a rather good inspection system. The real question is not whether the bridge was inspected, because I'm sure it was. The real issue is, was it maintained at proper intervals? What did they test to the degree of oxidation in the beams, and was that issue addressed? Those are the keys.
All right, Michael Brown, a civil engineer, speaking to us tonight from Maryland. Thank you very much for your expertise on this matter. I appreciate your comments tonight.
All right, you guys take care, and we wish those families all the best.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. This is Minnesota Public Radio News, continuing coverage of the Interstate 35 bridge collapse in downtown Minneapolis, the span over the Mississippi River that has all four lanes of traffic. There are two in each direction have collapsed, and the footage we've been getting is dramatic and surreal of the bridge just on the river banks and floating almost on the bed of the river. Emergency personnel have been requesting all evening long that people not make any extra and unnecessary cellular phone calls because the networks are getting tied up. I experienced the same thing myself earlier. John Stanek is the state president of Quest Communications, and Minnesota Public Radio's Greta Cunningham reached him. Mr. Stanek is at the Metrodome tonight for the Twins game, and he spoke about the phone problems prompted by the 35W bridge collapse.
Sir, you're at a Twins game now, is that right?
I am.
Okay. Did you see any of the scene as you were going to the Twins game?
I did not. I was already in downtown Minneapolis, heard about it a little bit, just shortly before 6:30. And then, of course, the first thing that we did is we checked on all of our employees to make sure that they were okay and are now working to provide any assistance we can to the emergency responders.
And can you describe the situation now with cell phone service?
Right. I think there's two issues here. Number one, with regard to cell phone service, as is totally understandable, a number of people wanted to check in on their loved ones, and there was some call blocking on the cell wireless service here in the Twin Cities. And the wireline service, however, is performing at a high level of integrity. So we would really encourage people, to the extent possible, to not use their wireless phones at this time so the emergency first responders can use that network, to use their wireline phones, which are performing at a high level of integrity.
So Quest and other wireless networks were down because of the high volume of calls?
They weren't down per se, but it was hard to get calls through. And, of course, the concern we all have is we want to make sure that anything that needs to be done for the emergency first responders in treating the people that were injured in this disaster, that they can get through first. So we're really encouraging people to use their wireline phones as opposed to their wireless phones as much as possible until we get through these next few hours and make sure that everything can be done for the emergency responders.
And is there anything that Quest can do to fix this situation, or is it just a matter of letting time go by?
Our facilities in the area are intact, so our wireline facilities are working. The facilities are fine. The major issue at this point is just an overload to the wireless networks of all major providers. And again, because we're concerned and want to make sure that the emergency first responders have the lines that they need to get through to treat the victims of this disaster, we're really encouraging people to use their wireline phones, which are performing. And if you're concerned about your loved one, pick up your wireline phone, your landline, and give your loved one a call.
As we mentioned, you are at the Metrodome. Have you heard any response from people there about this situation?
I think people here at the Metrodome are really concerned. The Minnesota Twins have announced that they're going to postpone tomorrow's game as well as their groundbreaking for the new stadium that was scheduled for tomorrow night. People are very concerned. A lot of serious faces walking around here tonight.
Okay. Well, Mr. Stanek of Quest, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
You bet. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and all the encouragement we can give to the emergency responders who are providing treatment.
That is John Stanek. He's the state president of Quest Communications, speaking with Minnesota Public Radio's Greta Cunningham about phone service. Mr. Stanek was at the, and still is, at the Twins game. And just a quick update, the Twins continue to play. And it was one of the things that probably complicated matters traffic-wise earlier. And the Twins in Kansas City are tied up in the fifth inning at the Dome. And I imagine many of the people there are just unaware of the situation. I don't know if any announcement has been made at the Twins game tonight about what has happened, but in fact, they will probably find out that traffic is snarled in downtown Minneapolis.
Right. Just as a practical matter, have a hard time getting home tonight.
Exactly. Now, we understand there has been a detour as well set up because I-35W, because of this collapse over the Mississippi River, has been closed from Interstate 94 on the south side to 36, which would be in Roseville or New Brighton at that point, isn't it? So traffic is being rerouted, it looks like, down 94 and then up to 80 north to 36. And then rejoin where I think 35W and 36 come together there at 280.
And this brings up another question, which is this will probably affect traffic for some time to come. With the bridge down and 35 being so busy, there's probably going to be, if you're trying to get to work in the morning, it's going to be hard. And again, this bridge was built in 1967, apparently one of the widest bridges in the Twin Cities. No indication as to what might have happened here. We do know that local officials have said this was a structural collapse. This was not related to terrorism. There's no indication of that, anything like that. Just that something happened. We know that there were work crews on the bridge at some point today. Not clear if they were on the bridge when it collapsed, but they were doing resurfacing on the bridge and working on the ice melting system on the bridge. Not clear, too, whether their work was in any way related to the collapse of the bridge. But we do know that the bridge collapsed at a very busy time of day, heavy traffic, drive time, rush hour on the way home, a little bit after 6 o'clock tonight. We heard one report that as many as 50 vehicles were on the bridge at the time it collapsed. Many of them fell. Some of them went into the river. We know that one person is confirmed to have been killed, a drowning victim. We know that 28 people are injured, six of them critically. At least that's the report we have now from Hennepin County Medical Center. We know that some other victims of the collapse were brought to North Memorial Medical Center.
We have a couple of updates for you now. First, earlier it was scheduled for 8:45. Now it looks like 9 o'clock tonight. We will get a news conference in downtown Minneapolis. Mayor R.T. Rybak and Governor Tim Pawlenty will be speaking to the press at the Hennepin County Government Center. The mayor and governor will provide updates on the rescue efforts at the scene of the Interstate 35W bridge collapse this evening. Our Dan Olson will be there and will be able to bring you that information from that in the audio when we have that for you at 9 o'clock, or at least be able to get an update from what was said there. But right now on the line, I understand we have Mr. Doug Neville, who works for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Correct, Mr. Neville?
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us this evening.
What
can you tell us so far about what we know and what we still have yet to hear about this collapse?
I think, you know, what we have yet to hear about probably outweighs what we know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, around 6 p.m., the bridge over 35W, as everyone know, collapsed. There was two lanes of traffic at the time. Of course, that's a very busy travel time. So there were cars and people in the water. There's fire and rescue. I'm on the scene now, and if you look, I see cars from Maplewood, St. Paul Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul. It looks like the whole community has really come together to respond to this and to do what they can. I guess basically, you know, this is going to be a long-term event, And one thing that we can't stress enough is just for people to stay away from the area, people to stay off their cell phones, because the cell phone lines are jammed, and emergency workers at this point are having trouble contacting each other. Also, there is information for families. If families need information, they can go to the Holiday Inn in Minneapolis. It's the Holiday Inn Metrodome. I do have a phone number for that, too, if you'd like that.
Sure, please, pass it on.
It's 612-333-4646.
And that's the Holiday Inn that's near the Seven Corners area, not far Washington, not far from the University of Minnesota.
Right. It's right near the scene here.
It's right near the scene. Now, tell us, this is Doug Neville from the Department of Public Safety. What can you tell us about the organization and the rescue efforts and the first responders? It sounds like this was, while it might not have been coordinated from the very beginning, that it was a very prompt response from all corners.
It was. You know, Minneapolis Fire, of course, is the lead on this, and they were the first ones on the scene. But we practiced this a lot. One thing that my boss, the Commissioner of Public Safety, Michael Campion, says is an emergency is the wrong time to be exchanging business cards. So, you know, we work on this kind of response. We work on getting together on a regular basis. So everybody pretty much, it was all hands on deck, and everybody knew where to go and how to get involved. So, like I said, this is going to be a long-term event. There's a lot of agencies, local, state, and even some federal agencies on the scene. And as soon as we get some answers as to exactly what happened, of course, we'll let you know.
When are we likely to get those answers about what actually caused this? And what can you tell us about, for example, the road surfacing work that was being done to this bridge and how recently it may have been inspected? Do you have any information on that, or can you tell us when we can expect it?
I do know this. I just know it was a routine surface work that they were doing. There was nothing under the bridge. It's just what the Department of Transportation calls routine surface work. And so the cause of it right now, we'll get some answers. Right now, I know the focus is on making sure that nobody still needs help. That initial response, the search and the rescue, is the main focus right now. We're gonna want answers as well. I can tell you this that they are out. There are sweeping bridges around the area for security, just as a precaution. At this point, you know, we don't have any reason to believe it was anything sinister or any type of terrorism or anything like that. But
how do you determine that? Because we've been hearing that all night. We heard it from Department of Homeland Security. And is it early? Do we know enough to be able to make that sort of determination? How do you come to those conclusions?
Well, and that's just it. That's what when we say as we know now, there's no credible information that showed this was that type of incident. That doesn't mean we're not looking into that, but at this point, there's nothing to point to terrorism. And you know, they talk to people about intelligence things, and you know, the federal government and state agencies talk all the time about that kind of thing. And there's nothing to point to anything like that. But as a precaution, they are looking at other bridges in the Twin Cities, and you know, just to make sure. I mean, we don't want to leave any stone unturned.
What about the workers? We understand there were people working on the bridge. There was the surfacing that was being done. Were they working on the bridge at the time of the collapse, shortly after 6 o'clock tonight?
There were still crews out on the bridge at the time.
And do we know anything about them?
No, I don't.
Their condition or status at this point?
No, I don't. I wish I did. That's some of the information that's still sketchy at this point. And, you know, I've heard reports in the media about one fatality. I've heard reports in the media about several injured. At this point, there's nothing that we can confirm.
And you can't confirm any of that?
No.
Yeah. All right, Doug Neville from the Department of Public Safety, thank you very much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And take care. The State Emergency Operations Center has been set up in downtown St. Paul. Minnesota Public Radio's Greta Cunningham has been busy in our newsroom tonight. She went to the center and reports that dozens of people are working there to try to coordinate rescue efforts. While there, she spoke with Kevin Gutnecht of the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Well, I'm not certain what's going to happen in the next few minutes. I do know that we're gathering information and that at some point there will be some sort of a news briefing, probably at the site, to give as many details as we have at that particular point.
And I understand you've been in touch with Governor Pawlenty?
I've not been in touch with Governor Pawlenty, but I understand that he is going to the scene to survey the damage.
And do you know anything right now? Can you give us an update on the situation, if you know of any injuries or deaths?
I can't tell you anything other than what's been broadcast over the public media. I would tell you that there will be a full investigation of this, and we'll to figure out what happened.
And it looks like you have an emergency operations center up and going. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Just that the state emergency operations center has been activated, and people are starting to flow in to start to provide whatever we can to help the public deal with this disaster.
And what does an emergency operations center do exactly?
Coordinates resources, makes sure that the right things get to the right places at the right time.
So this here at 6th and Cedar in downtown St. Paul, this is sort of the nerve center of coordinating efforts?
It could be. It's going to be the nerve center of coordinating efforts on a state level. There will also be work taking place out at the site as well as out at the Regional Transportation Management Center in Roseville.
Okay. And who would you say right now is in charge of coordinating efforts?
The state EOC and probably somebody, there's probably an on-scene commander at the site who's managing things there and coordinating back here.
And what sorts of resources are you working with? Is it healthcare providers and ambulances and helicopters?
That's pretty good. It would be all of those things, medical services, rescue operations primarily.
That's MnDOT's Kevin Gutnick speaking with Minnesota Public Radio's Greta Cunningham at the State Emergency Operations Center that's been set up in downtown St. Paul. We also understand that the Minnesota State Patrol has set up a command center not far from the scene of the accident, the bridge collapse. Okay, a couple of minutes now before 9 o'clock. We expect comments fairly soon from Governor Tim Pawlenty and Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Rybak at the Hennepin County Government Center, where they'll be setting up to brief the media. And we hope to be able to bring you the content of those comments here on Minnesota Public Radio News. I'm Tom Cran in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Mike Mulcahy is here with me. We're coming up on 9 o'clock, and a little less than 3 hours ago, the entire span of Interstate 35 over the Mississippi River, Interstate 35W in downtown Minneapolis, collapsed. And we don't know more than we do know, but here are some of the things we do know right now, Mike.
Right, Tom. We do know that at least one person was killed, died from drowning. We know that at least 28 people were injured, and six of those people were injured critically. We know that from a Hennepin County Medical Center. Dr. Joseph Clinton, the chief of emergency medicine, has told us that, so we can confirm that. We know that the bridge apparently collapsed because of some sort of structural failure, apparently unrelated to terrorism or anything like that. We do know that there were work crews on the bridge doing what we just heard from one source was routine surface work, which seems unlikely to have had any impact on the structural integrity of the bridge. We understand that those crews were out on the bridge at the time of the collapse. We know that the traffic was very heavy at the time, that some people have called it bumper-to-bumper traffic. Traffic was moving fairly slowly. We had one report that there were 50 cars on the bridge at the time it collapsed. We know that there are dozens of cars in the wreckage of this, which is tons of concrete and steel, which has fallen. We're piecing together various items. We just heard from the Public Safety Department that if you think you have a family member who might have been involved in this, you can go to the Holiday Inn Metrodome in Minneapolis, or you can call at 612-333-4646. And that is what they're telling people who may have family members involved. And we also heard, Tom, an interesting tidbit there, that they're sweeping other bridges just as a security precaution.
As a precaution, while at the same time they're saying that at this point there is no evidence of any terrorism or terrorist act. We also understand that there is a family patient number set up, although I imagine this number is swamped, and I'm almost loath to give it out. I was hesitant to give it out anyway, but at HCMC, Hennepin County Medical Center, 612-873-3400 as well. So 612-873-3400 for Hennepin County Medical Center if you're trying to find out any more information about a loved one. We also heard from Hennepin County Medical Center earlier. Dr. Joseph Clinton there, the emergency medical chief, says the hospital has treated so far 28 people now.
Right.
Earlier we heard more than 20 and six critically injured. There's a triage situation set up, and unfortunately they have reported already one fatality from the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River, one fatality that has been reported from drowning. That's pretty much an update on what we know at this point at a minute after 9 on Minnesota Public Radio News.
And Tom, we also know that there was a school bus involved in this, that there was a school bus on the bridge at the time it collapsed. And we've had a couple reports now that apparently the kids who were on that bus are okay. There was a Annie Baxter, one of our reporters, talked to one of the kids who was on the bus, a 13-year-old girl, who said there were about 60 kids on that bus, and that they all got off safely. They all got first aid, and apparently they're all okay.
And that's what we heard. We heard earlier that perhaps the teacher on that bus was injured, but the bus was not from one specific school, but it was rather from a South Minneapolis community center. It was kids on an outing. A beach outing as well. Emergency personnel right now are requesting that you not make any cellular calls, any unnecessary cellular calls, as the networks are getting tied up, as we heard from a spokesman, or actually the regional president of Quest, who's attending the Twins game tonight, which is going on not far from the incident of this. This is one of the most traveled roadways in the Twin Cities in downtown Minneapolis, one of the most densely populated and traveled areas of the state. And this bridge collapse happened at just a few minutes after 6 o'clock tonight. 6:05 was the time that that some are saying as well. So we have our Minnesota Public Radio reporters in various places around the around downtown Minneapolis. We've been getting eyewitness updates from them. But right now we understand if it hasn't started, it'll soon start. We'll get an update from R.T. Rybak, Mayor R.T. Rybak in Minneapolis, and Governor Tim Pawlenty, who will be jointly addressing the press. And our Minnesota Public Radio's Dan Olson is there, and we'll have more when that gets underway. These things tend to run a little late as the media assembles.
And Tom, we also know that there was a response from emergency service agencies, quite a response from different cities, communities around Minneapolis. And we know that the Hennepin County and Ramsey County Water Patrols are on the scene, boats in the river, still looking for victims of this, and that they're also interviewing people who witnessed it, people who were injured, to try to piece together just exactly what happened.
Yeah, Annie Baxter spoke to someone earlier who was traveling in their car, a commuter on the bridge, and they miraculously survived as the bridge fell 40 feet. We understand the bridge is 64 feet over the Mississippi River at its tallest. It's a 40-year-old bridge built in 1967, and there was some surfacing work going on. We understand that it had a very it had a unique structure, and that it had pillars or pylons on either side on the banks of the river, but not into the water, so that the wide span could be created for lanes of traffic. Dan Olson is standing by at the Hennepin County Government Center in downtown Minneapolis. He tells us they have not yet started the press conference. The press is members of the media are assembling there, but when it does, we will bring it to you from Dan. But they are getting ready for that, so we'll have that from you for you from Governor Tim Pawlenty and from Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Rybak.
Several of the witnesses who were there when this happened said they heard a loud rumbling noise, and then the road just dropped, and some were able to back up or to stop and avoid the actual collapse, and some weren't. And it's we haven't gotten good numbers really on how many cars were involved. We heard the number 50 earlier, but we really don't know.
Another report I saw said 20 to 30, which frankly at that time of night, it's really quite amazing to me that there weren't more, it being one of the most highly traveled places. Jess Mador, our Jess Mador, is standing by at the Hennepin County Medical Center, where I understand they are bringing the injured. And Jess, what can you tell us? You have a new update for us?
Well, I just met one victim's family. It was a woman coming into HCMC because she had word that her two nieces were brought here. Her family, her sister, her brother-in-law, and two nieces, age 17 and 18, were in a car. Her sister is missing. Her brother-in-law was brought to Robbinsdale, and the two girls were brought to Hennepin County Medical Center, and she had no word on what their condition was, but she was understandably distraught.
And can you give us an update as well on what you know from earlier, from the briefing from Dr. Clinton, I believe it is, about the situation there tonight?
There hasn't been another update yet. We're expecting one momentarily.
Really? Okay.
It's pretty quiet here, actually.
Yeah, what is the scene? Is it chaotic?
Actually,
or was it earlier?
It's less chaotic than it was earlier. Not many ambulances coming in and out, and it's kind of an eerie calm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jess Mador for us tonight from Hennepin County Medical Center. Thank you very much for reporting live here on Minnesota Public Radio.
Thanks, Tom.